Merry Christmas. Good to see you here tonight. Great way to begin the celebration of your Christmas day. And I appreciate that. Those of you who are regular attenders and members know that we announced last week that we have been, there was an offer made on our church building and property. Which would open the door for us to relocate up Clovercroft 0.4 miles. And it is a gift that we, you know how you hold the gift and you shake it a little bit and you make sure it's okay. That's what we're doing now. I sent out a video that has the timeline, and also we're sending out after the 29th. You'll receive some more information right before the 29th, more information. Just to let you know what's going on, and I ask that you be in prayer as we see if this is God's open door for us, and if it is, what an exciting time for our church, and if it's not, he'll let us know. So please be in prayer for that. If you've been coming, you know that during December, we've been looking at Christmas carols. And we study the history of it. We study how these were inspired by Scripture. Many were written in a time when illiteracy reigned in Europe. And few people could read or write. And so the Christmas carols became the Scripture for them, as they talked about Jesus' birth and why he came. And we've covered several, but we saved one for Christmas Eve. And that Silent Night, one of our favorites here at Franklin, one of the most popular during the Christmas season. And I have been sharing the history and telling the history and weaving it in and out of Scripture and the conclusion of the sermons. But tonight, because we do have a lot of kids, we wanted to present the history in a video. So watch the video of the Silent Night Christmas Carol. Let's pray. Father, please bless our time. Let it please you as we give you thanks, as we celebrate the birth of your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, this time of year, we are desperate for a few silent nights and maybe a few silent days as well. I mean, the most common words expressed after Thanksgiving, I am so busy. I just don't have time to do anything. I can't get it all done. And we know that busyness because every one of us has it. It's just constant. You have to be somewhere at all the time. And it's not that we try to kill ourselves as we move our families from event to event to event. Basically, we're just keeping up the pace that's already there. And then it accelerates when you add the Christmas season in. And it's stressful. Even small children feel the stress when they do their fun things. Like these two children here, really having a stressful time. There they are. The adult looks stressed as well in that. And we can relate. The frantic pace of the holidays has been well documented. We see it in movies and TV shows, songs, even sermons. And it's like, we get it, okay? We know we are so busy, but we don't know what to do about it. And the busyness culminates tomorrow morning. But even then, it's stressful. You got to get everybody up. And you got to cook breakfast. And then the kids are saying, can we open presents now? Let's open presents now. Well, grandma and grandpa late again. And so we're still waiting for them to show up. And then when they finally get there, everybody gets their gifts and the wrapping paper's flying. And have you ever got a gift? And right before you open it, the giver says, when you finish opening, I need to explain. Okay, any gift that has to be explained probably is not going to be a good gift. You can just count on it. My aunt, I have an aunt in Kentucky who is not the best gift giver. She's a wonderful aunt and she's very generous, but she's not. Well, how do I describe her? Let me use a southern phrase to describe her. Well, bless her heart. She just doesn't keep up with the news and things going on in the world. And so, for instance, last year, she gave me coupons that she had found for free movie rentals at Blockbuster Video. What do you do with that? I re-gifted them this year. Don't tell Brandon, our music minister, that that's what he's getting. But we give gifts in the midst of all this stress, and it's a good time. But I will say this. The busyness that we have during this time of year, it's not always bad. Because it reminds us to work harder during Christmas time in the pursuit of truly noble, truly honorable, soul-feeding endeavors. For instance, we seem to care more for the less fortunate during Christmas time. We try to be nicer to people. Some of you I know paid for the person behind them in the drive-through at Chick-fil-A and at McDonald's, just as a nice little surprise gift for that person who you don't know. Our church gave bikes. 164 bikes we collected from you so that we could help families out for Christmas. And they were distributed and they'll be under the trees and waiting for the kids tomorrow. We helped pay some electric bills of people who were just struggling and trying to get those done. And certainly we did not want any electricity being turned off during the Christmas season. And we say this not to pat ourselves on the back, because we shouldn't feel, you know, proud, because it's what God is doing through us and for us and for those in our community. We want to minister to them. During Christmas, we're mindful of the feelings of those around us. We carve out time to enjoy the company of family and friends. Even though we're busy, we do all of these things. We fit it into the schedule, because all of those things create lasting memories, even in the midst of holiday madness. We are busy, but there is much more about these December moments. Not only do they create memories, but they can whisper a divine message to us. I mean, every time we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, for most Christians, there is something that comes over them. There's a soothing feeling or emotion, even a calming that may last for just a moment, may last for just the 5 minutes it takes to sing all four verses. But we know that feeling, and we like that feeling. And it relieves the stress. Temporarily, but it's gone. Because we're taken back to an obscure, tiny village, to a lonely stable, to an animal feeding trough, and to a little baby placed in that manger, who is God's Son and our King. If you picked up on the video, last year was the 200th anniversary of that Christmas carol. For two centuries, this song has been sung all over the globe. And it makes us stop and ponder the truth of its words. It has very simple lyrics, so simple that adults and children can sing it together. It's almost has a lullaby tone to it. And it makes us think. It reminds us that Jesus not only came to die for us, but to understand us, to live as we live. And we talked a lot about that in the month of December, that Jesus understands what we're going through. Let me show you. Look at this list. And who are we talking about here as you read this list? Are we talking about Jesus, or are we talking about you? All right, the first one, born to a mother. Okay, most of you qualify for that one. But there are so many statements in here that you can relate to. Acquainted with physical pain. Enjoys a good party, rejected by friends, unfairly accused, loves stories, reluctantly pays taxes. I won't ask for a show of hands on that one. Sings, turned off by greedy religion, feels sorry for the lonely, unappreciated by siblings, stands up for the underdog, kept awake at night by concerns, known to doze off in the midst of trips, accused of being too rowdy, afraid of pain in death. Now, you can look at that list and say, okay, that's me, that's me, that's me. But every one of them are also Jesus. And what is this saying to us is the fact that no matter what you go through, no matter what difficulty, what trial, what conflict, no matter what you face in life, Jesus has faced something similar, and he understands you. When you walk around feeling sorry for yourself and no one understands what I'm going through, Jesus says, I do. And I'm going to help you face that. You do not have to be alone. Because not only did Jesus come to die for us, he came to live for us and help us to understand what it means to face difficulty and keep on trusting God. Hebrews 4, Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. He became one of us in order to redeem all of us. He came to this earth not only to die for us, but to live for us. You see, the nativity always leads to the cross. It's wonderful at Christmas time as we look at nativity sets and we see the baby in a manger and we ooh and we awe and we think of how wonderful it is. But his story always leads to the cross and to the empty tomb and to his second coming. He came the first time as an infant. The second time he's going to come, he'll do so as king. The first time he came, it was to die for us, to redeem us, to show his love for us. The second time he comes, he's come to take us home, to stand with us in judgment, to walk with us through the gates of heaven. Jesus, who makes people holy, and those who are made holy are of the same family. Did you get that? Because Jesus came and died and made us holy. That means set apart for God. Because we are holy, that means we share the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Understand this. Your past does not shame Jesus. You're still his brother. You're still his sister. Whatever you've done in your past, whatever is there, whatever sin you committed that only you and God know, no one else in your family, none of your friends, still he is not ashamed to call you brother or sister. He loves you that much. He was willing to come and die for you. You matter to him that much. But here's the real question. He calls you brother. He calls you sister. Do you call him Savior? Do you call him Lord? Is that a part of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says he is the only way to God. You have an opportunity to change everything in your life tonight, tomorrow, next week. You're his brother, you're his sister. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? We have staff here tonight. We have elders, our leaders here tonight. Anybody would be willing to talk to you, maybe a family member or friend, if you say, hey, I'm not sure of my relationship with God. I'm not sure of my relationship with Jesus. I need to talk to someone. We'll talk to you. Don't put it off too long. Here's how we're going to close this service as we honor him. In a minute, I'm going to pray for you. And after I pray, then volunteers have been designated to pass out some votive candles. These are the little kind that light up by battery. And the band's going to come out, and they're going to lead us in Silent Night. And as they're distributed, you can turn it on, and then we'd like for you to hold it. And when we sing the last verse, we'll sing an a cappella without the musicians. I ask that you lift your candle up in honor of him, in honor of why he came, and in honor of what he wants to do for you. So would you stand right now? And our volunteers can take their place and grab their buckets. And let me pray for you. Father, right now we dedicate our Christmas to you. Some families are getting together tonight, some tomorrow. Some people are traveling. Father, we dedicate this Christmas to you, that it's all about you, that it's always been all about you. That there are those who don't recognize the celebration of your birth, but we do, Father. And so we give that up to you with our family and friends. Father, we give you the new year. A new year beginning. A new decade beginning. And we pray, Father, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would open doors and close doors according to your will, and that we are going to be faithful and obedient to you as individuals and as a church. Father, we give you ourselves. Everything we are, everything we do, everything we say, everything we have, we give it to you. Use us as you will. And Father, on this silent night, on this holy night, we give you our love, and we give you our worship. In Christ's name.